So I'm going to get started. I'm going to just pray for us, and then we can go and get going. The way I'm going to pray is something I learned in when I was in youth group, and I love it still. Our youth leader always started with having us pray together, Lord Jesus Christ, speak to me. So we all will say that together, and then I'll just continue to pray. Right. So, Lord Jesus Christ, speak to me. Jesus, we just thank you that you are a God of promise and a God of fulfillment. We thank you that you do still speak to us. We thank you for your word that we can always go to and hear your voice coming from that. But we thank you that you also give us guidance to live this abundant life that you've called us to live. We thank you that you give us guidance in confusing times, which life can be really confusing. We thank you that you just tell us that you love us because we forget sometimes. And we just thank you that you are relational. That when it's said over and over again that Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship, you really want us to believe that.
Thank you.
And we just thank you for that. And we just pray during this time now, as we go into the teaching time, that you really will speak to us. You will highlight those things that we need to take hold of and that we need to grab for ourselves. Even if it's not even something I say, but you are penetrating people's hearts and penetrating people's spirits. And you're saying your own thing because you treat us each individually and with love and kindness. And so we just thank you for this gathering of guys who want more of you. And so we just pray for that. We just welcome you, Holy Spirit. We welcome you because you remind us of everything Jesus taught. And we open ourselves up to hear all that you have for us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So David gave away my opening line. Today, I had coffee spilled on me. He said, I spilled coffee on me. I had coffee spilled on me. So David and I work at the same place. And so I happened to tell him this later. But it was all the staff gathered together every Monday to talk about like kind of big things going on in our company. We were sharing this, and whatever, the person next to me, I was sitting on the couch, and she was kind of joking around about something that was said up front and started shaking the couch. Well, I had just filled my coffee right before this, and so I did this number, and it just went all over my pants. Of course, the person speaking calls it out, and it's like, everything all right down there? You know, whatever. It's like, do I have to go home, change my pants, whatever. These are the same pants. Normally, I do change before this meeting, but I decided not to today. So just show off the fact that I got some awesome pants. I had a huge coffee pour, and nothing lasted. And so
then you wore your brown pants.
I know. And good thing, I'm thinking a good thing I didn't put cream and sugar in, because I think that the cream and sugar would have had some little extra taint.
Those were anointed pants.
I think, well, that's why I wore them tonight, because I knew I was going to be teaching. The reason I actually start off with, and not just because I shared the fact that I spilled coffee on myself, I share it because I realized afterwards that type of thing would have set me off for the rest of the day. Because I was so, growing up, I was so filled with shame, feeling of insecurity, feeling that I was an embarrassment, so anything that drew attention to me in kind of a negative light, it would have just set me off. Right. And I just wouldn't have been able to move forward with my day. And just I probably would have left to say I'm changing my pants and never came back for that day. To be honest, yeah. I mean, I don't know exactly what I would have done, but that would fall in line with how I felt back then. And so today when it happened, it was like, it was no big deal. It was funny. I joked with the person who did it. It's like, I thought you liked me. Why do you do this? And, you know, it's kind of, I brought it up to David. They didn't bring any, I'm bringing it up here. It's not bringing any shame. And I know it's small, but I say it because it used to bring me a lot of shame. And so what I want to share today is really about the process I went through to get where I am now. And then some of how we were trying to incorporate it here in this men's group. So with that said, the Jahari's window. This is a psychiatric kind of thing, but this to me was so helpful to explain kind of some of the things that were going on in my heart. And this Jahari's window is basically, you see the face here, that's not always drawn in. It's an XY coordinates, which I'm a math person. I love these type of things. This is my love language, to be honest.
Oh, wow.
So there's the two lines. The x-axis is being vulnerable, and the y-axis is your awareness.
Okay.
So what we have like here in this upper section right here is the face. So this is what everyone sees, because this is what you show everyone. And you intentionally show it because you, for whatever reason, you feel like, I don't mind people knowing this. I'm going to let you see this. So this is your face. Down here, underneath this vulnerability kind of line, is the mask. This is what you also know about yourself, but you don't show people. And for different reasons. Generally, it's because you feel like you'll be rejected if they knew this. Generally, we think of it, the mask, as like things we don't like about ourselves, things we don't want other people to know, we feel like embarrassment, whatever, that's what we're hiding. But sometimes it's even good things. Like, you don't want to show off, you don't want to feel like you're better than other people, so you don't actually share some of those good things either. So that's in the hidden mask here. But all of this on this side is stuff that you're aware of, stuff that you know. Now, over here, this is awareness. Over this side is stuff you don't know about yourself. So above here is still what people see. People are aware of it. People know your blind spots because you show it whether you know it or not.
Right.
And we always talk about blind spots in a way that's super negative. You know, my wife, in a good way, shares some of my blind spots, which were negative, right? So when I don't return her text, she feels unimportant. I don't mean to do that. I get busy with her stuff. I kind of do other things, and I don't return her text. And she's just like, why even bother communicating with you? And it communicates the things I don't want to communicate. So she tells me this. So I have a chance to be aware of it now and do something different. Other things she shares are when I forget to ask about her day. It's just not an important question to me, but it is to her. So again, if I don't ask her how her day was, it's almost like, do you forget I even exist? It just things that I don't think about. But she does, and I have two girls, and so she's reminding me too that I need to ask how their day is and move into that. And so those are good things. I'm glad that she shared. Those were blind spots, but she shared them with me so I can be aware of it and change my behavior. But blind spots don't always have to be negative. They can be good things that other people see in you that you aren't aware of. And this is somewhat silly, but I've had people share with me that they think I have a good voice, like when I'm singing and different things. And like, I didn't believe that was true. Because I remember when I was a kid singing into a microphone and my friends making fun of me. So that's what I remember. But since then, like in church and especially, it's usually like not so much here because we all kind of sing in the loud. But like some of the other churches I've been to, it's always the old people sitting in front of me that turn around and like, you got such a beautiful voice. I really think it's because they can hear me. But I've had it enough where people say this. I'm starting to believe it is true, right? And that's minor, but there could be other things where people are sharing with you that you make people feel so welcome when you come in. You might not know it. You're just being yourself, right? But people share that with you, and it's like, oh, maybe this is something God's given me as a blessing to other people. And that your awareness now allows you to act in it even better and even more. My wife is so organized. I mean, it's crazy how organized she is. And when we first got married, she was like, it confused her that other people would do things that were so unorganized or inefficient. Because she was naturally gifted in that, she didn't realize it was different than, it was a gift that God given her to be a blessing to other people. And so I remember making her aware of that, and she actually made a business out of it for a while, helping organize people's stuff. And she's helped administrate and be an organization for a lot of different people since then in kind of smaller roles, and that's just a gifting that she has. Now, this section down here, the unknown, this is stuff that's still true about you. You just don't know it, right? And other people don't see it either because it's not something that you participate or, you know, are aware of. So I wanted to throw out this chart first because I'm going to kind of give some examples and different things along with this. If you have a Bible or your phone or whatever, turn to 2 Corinthians 3. Now, this is a story, as you're turning to it, is with Moses. And he talks about Moses, you know, when he left the glory, he put the veil on his face. And then as Paul was writing this, he's saying, we're all veiled towards the gospel in the Old Testament. And then when you became believers, the veil has been removed, and now you understand. So I want to set that context, even though I'm going to use it a little differently. That is the context. But I will say that Moses, he put the veil on to hide the glory. And I've heard it said, and I don't know if this is true, I don't remember where it was, like, that it was actually hide the glory leaving him, so people didn't see when it left. So you have the mask that he was trying to hide something from other people. But then on verse 16, whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And as I read this, and I was thinking about what I want to share, it's like the Lord talks to our entire self. He's not just looking at our face and going, oh, this is what you want me to see? This is what I'm going to communicate with. He knows everything about you, and he's really communicating every part of you. And the more you live only in here, it's going to restrict your ability to hear God's voice, and it's going to restrict your ability to follow and obey him. So when I first started hearing that God still spoke, I grew up in a church that kind of taught that didn't happen anymore. So when I first started hearing about it, I struggled with pornography. And so when I started getting around people who heard the voice of the Lord, my fear was all he wanted to tell me is about my pornography in the mask. Because I feel like that was what was keeping me from fully living out of everything he had for me, and that's all he cared about was my holiness. Now, that was my interpretation of God at the time, and God definitely cares about our sin, but he cares way more about you living fully complete, because that's going to get you to what he called you and created you to be. He wants you to know what he's called you to, so that when you see what he's called you to, the stuff that's holding you back becomes less and less a draw on your life.
Yeah, amen.
Because you're looking at that, and that's what you want.
Yeah.
And everything that was holding you back before becomes less of a draw.
Yeah.
And so last week, David was talking about sitting at the feet of Jesus. And part of what all of us as Christians are doing is we're looking at Jesus, and he is way more exciting and important than whatever has been holding us back.
Yeah.
But I say that for each of us, there's also... He has a unique calling on our life that is specifically designed for each one of you.
Yeah.
And that, as you live in that calling, it's going to bring you so much life, so much joy, so much pleasure, that we will start realizing that his yoke really is light. Because he's empowering you with the Holy Spirit to do everything he's called you to do. And you might be working hard, but he's pouring into you at the same time. But you can only do that, well, not only, I shouldn't say that. You're best suited to do that when you fully live out of who you are. So the goal really is to push down this vulnerability so that other people become aware of more stuff that they can speak into, and then allowing them to speak into you so you become more aware of it. So you start actually living more like this, where this is your face, because you're living more fully out of who he called you to be. So... one thing about God speaking to everything about you, there's two different times where God spoke to my unknown. One time I was doing ministry. I was with Campus Crusade for Christ. I was full-time staff. And then I made a transition. I worked for a church. And that time was coming to an end. I knew it was coming to an end. And I was like, well, if I'm going to stay in church ministry, really the next step appeared to be going to seminary. And it was just, I had no desire to go to seminary. And for different reasons, whatever, I'm not saying it's bad for me, it was just not a calling for me. So I was spending time praying and asking God, what is it you're calling me to do? And I felt like he was showing me just like the things I really enjoyed. So one of the things I really enjoyed was helping individuals achieve their God-created purpose. So helping them see what it is that God called them to and how to get there. So it was like this kind of step-by-step strategic plan almost of how you can get to that spot. And as I was interacting with God and we're talking, I felt like I was supposed to go back to school to get a master's degree in some kind of business degree or something. And to be honest, I had never even considered anything in business. Barely even liked to work, to be honest. I didn't work in any job where I had any management kind of roles. But I went and told my wife, and I said, Allie, I think that God might even want me to get like a master's degree in business or something like that. And she had to tell me what that was. It's like, oh, you mean like an MBA? It's like, I don't know what that is. But it was in this unknown that God called out for me. Now, there's times where he does that. He speaks directly and pulls that out. But here's the thing. A lot of times when we hear something that he says in the unknown, it's so unknown or so unfamiliar to us that we ignore it.
Yeah.
We go, oh, I don't do that. Right? So my next example is, there was one time he woke me up and I was like, it was a weird dream, and the dream doesn't even connect with what he got me to. But I was just kind of pondering the dream, and I felt like he said, you're going to write 5 books. And he gave me different titles, which, as I mentioned, I'm a math guy. I like charts. Charts are my thing. When I was high school, I took an AP calculus and AP English. I got the highest grade in the calculus, the lowest grade in the English. And I went to college. I avoided any class that did an essay exams. Because I just knew I was going to fail. I was like, give me multiple choice, give me problems, I'm good. And so when I felt like he called me to this, to write books, I was like, okay. But that would have been so easy for me to go, I'm a math guy, I don't do that. Right? Because it's in the unknown. But God speaks to all of this. And I'm so grateful for those two things specifically, because those are two of my favorite things I do right now. I'm a manager where I work. I love managing my team. I love coming up with strategic plans for the work I'm doing, how things are moving along and helping that process go. I love writing books. I've written at least 10 by now. I enjoy that, and it's something that God let me know that I would enjoy that I didn't. So God speaks to all of this. And so the reason why you're doing this, like trying to get to this place where you're living out of your face everything you know about yourself, it's because then you're living out who God created you to be, right? You are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. This new that he's given you is good. So I know that in Christian circles, we talk about how the heart is evil and is deceitful above all things. That was before he gave you a new heart. So you need to trust the heart and the person he's called you to be and live out of that so that you can fully live out of who God's called you to be. So what I'm saying with this unknown, this being vulnerable, the goal of really what we talk about as a group in the sharing is you want to become as vulnerable as possible, to let people see this stuff that you've been hiding so that you can start seeing how God sees it. Because there's things that God's been saying to you that you've kind of pushed off because, well, if people knew this, they wouldn't believe that. And there's other things where he's called you to stuff where he's like, you don't want to go there because you're afraid people will see this. Because this is the stuff you're trying to hide from others. And the more you become vulnerable and share that, the more you're willing to follow God and all he's called you to be. So that is the purpose of this. And when we talk about praying for each other, it's because there's two things in the belt of prayer. And obviously, if we want to do prophetic, we want to get what God's saying about you. But there's times in that prophetic time or that prayer time where, you know what, I'm just going to tell you what I see in you. And so you're going from this blind spot where they don't see in themselves and saying, this is what I see in you. And I'm not talking about the crap that, you know, you're an ass and I don't want you to, you know, those type of things. I'm talking about the stuff that the blind spot, you've got creative gifts in you that have not come out in fruition. And like some of that's prophetic, like people can see that. But other times, like, dude, when you walk in the room, people notice you. You're a magnet towards others. And people are drawn to you. And that you're not seeing that. You feel like you're alone and isolated. But what I see, people are drawn to you. And those type of things give life to people, right? And it's not you're just blowing smoke. You're saying, you're telling them stuff that you're seeing that's true about them that they don't see. Because the thing is, once you share this stuff down here, the reason you've hid it for all these years is because you thought it was going to get you rejected. And when you lower that in vulnerability and get accepted right there, all of a sudden you start believing God more. Because God says you're fully accepted. There's therefore no condemnation for those in Christ. We all know that, but some of us don't feel that. Because we know this, and we're afraid if people knew this, that we would be condemned. So this is how you get to that point of just fully living who God's called you to be. So a couple things I want to get to. I was leading a group in China, and it was like all like people, missionaries had been there double-digit years. I mean, I just got over there. I felt God called me to lead this men's group, and I'm like starting this kind of new sharing your stuff, and then we're going to do prophetic gifts. People all liked the prophetic gifts in the group that I was in, which was great. Not all churches do, but this one did. But they hated the share. They didn't get it. They was like, let's just pray for each other. It's like, no, this is important. It's important to get to this point. And I remember leaving after the third, fourth week, and I'm just like frustrated. Like, I feel like not only they're not getting it, but they're judging me. This is the feeling I had. Now, one of the things I felt over the years, I mentioned this before, I felt like if people got to know me, they would reject me. So it was hitting a area that I've worked through, but it's still a sore area, right? Just because you work through stuff doesn't mean that it's just not going to hurt again. So what I decided to do, there's two things you can do. One, you feel that and you just hide or try to ignore it. It's like, I'm just going to push through. I decided to call a buddy of mine that was in California at the time. So got on the phone. I was like, hey, do you got time? He said, yeah, I'm just leaving men's group. I mean, thankfully, it was daytime there. It was nighttime where I was at. It's like, I'm just leaving men's group, and this is what happened. And this is a guy that I did men's group with, and he got to experience some of this as well. And he just got to speak life into me. And that life came because I was vulnerable to share where I was hurting so that I could get life and then get the life I needed for the group to get to where they needed to be. There was a guy in the group, seriously, he was one of the ones that was most anti-wanting to share. He was older gentleman, probably in his 70s. He was from Europe, and he kept on pointing, it's like, oh, that's Americans, you just want to be vulnerable and talk through your stuff. It's like, you know, that's what he thought. But he loved the prophetic, because it was new to him, but he was believing in it, and he was getting blessed. I mean, he literally was the guy that made people feel welcomed. He was just like this big grandfather. He came in the room. He loved everyone. I just kept on telling him this every time he came in the group, because that's what he was. And he shared something. This is like after months and months and months. He finally shared that happened to him as a teenager. I mean, like a young teenager that has been holding over him for almost 50 plus years, 60 plus years, whatever. And it was like something that, not even something he did, but something someone said, he left it as a mask. And he said it affected my feeling of being a man, feeling of being a father to my kids, being a grandfather to my grandkids. And he shared this, and we just, as a group, just like, and just repeated the things we knew about him. And we just prayed for him and just hugged him. And he just like, he said that was the best night in his whole life. We're all hiding stuff, right? Some of you, like, all you can see right now is pornography. But there's other things we hide, right? It's like, we don't want you to know that, oh gosh, sure, why not?
go for Jesus.
Well, it's so stupid, but it's like something and so it's this thing that's just like, oh, it's so embarrassing, I don't want people to know, right? But God's not embarrassed by it. Whatever. It's like, if someone thinks less of me for that, I can't help, but it's better than me trying to hide who I am. Because the thing is, I also know that might be a weird and crazy share, but someone's going to hear that and go, I might not deal with that, but this is something that's held over me for years. And I know that God is using me in a way to get people free. And this is the way I know to get people free. I want to end with John 4. It's just the woman in the well. You can look at it if you want. But most of you know the story. Jesus shows up to this woman, and Samaritan woman, so it's already unusual for him to be speaking to her. But he does, and he starts a conversation. They talk about religion because she felt that was safe. Then Jesus turns about the living water and still whatever. But then he goes, hey, why don't you just bring your husband and we can continue this conversation? And she's like, oh, I don't have a husband. And he's like, you're right, you had five. He just dove right into her mask, right? This thing that she was embarrassed by, the thing that created her to be an outcast, many say is why she was there in the middle of the day, he exposed it. But why did he expose it? He exposed it to allow her to know that she's accepted by him. That's the only reason he shows this stuff out. It's not to get you to stop doing that and punish you and spank you. He does it because he knows how much that hurts you and how much that's keeping you from the full love he has for you. So even in that example, he's trying to push people to be vulnerable because he wants them to see that he accepts them. And the thing is, most of us, even when we go to God, we know we're forgiven. But I tell you, when you see you're accepted and forgiven from other people, all of a sudden that becomes more real. Because it's like, okay, I'll speak for me. When I was dealing with pornography, I could go to know that God's forgiven me. And I would go to that. But it's like, yeah, but, they won't understand. Or especially Allie. I never thought she would understand. I mean, I thought for sure she would divorce me as soon as she found out. That's why I hid it. I didn't want anyone else to know because I felt like if I told William, for some reason, if that got out and got back to my wife, it's like, then she would divorce me. And so I wouldn't tell anyone. And then it became this, like, I'm watching everything I do. My mask, this is kind of this. I was more like up here. I was living out very little of myself. Everything I did was I was thinking, how is people going to react to this? What do people think about this? Is this going to be received? And so there was no freedom. There was no freedom because I was controlling everything because I was afraid of what may happen if I lost control. But if you lower that vulnerability and you've already, someone already knows everything about you, there's freedom. Because there's nothing that's going to come out that's going to be, that you haven't dealt with. That's my heart for this group is this. And that's kind of the things that I've been doing for years in men's group. God's created us to be known. And the reason why we're created to be known, because he's placed great things inside of each one of us. And there's something that John knows about God that I don't know. And if I don't get to know him and for him to reveal stuff going on, I miss out on a part of God. And so us being vulnerable actually allows each of us to have a greater experience with God. Because we all have different experiences, so we all relate to God a little differently, but we can learn from each other to see, dude, God did that for you? That's awesome. I want that. And I know it's available to me. Dear Father, we just thank you for this message. And I know how powerful it has been to me. And I've seen it release a lot of people into who you've called them to be. And I just pray that for those here that there's something in it that was for them as well. And as we go into our time of sharing, I just pray that you would allow these men to share something in their mask that maybe they're afraid they're going to be rejected, just to get that off their back. They're not meant to carry that burden, so that they may experience the full freedom that you have for them. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.